Okay, so let me, so right now there's another sheet that's circulating. This is for you to, it looks better when it's bigger. Anyway, what it has is it has different columns. Your name, your email if you want to use that, cell number if you want to get texts, and you don't have to, okay? This is all optional. What this is I've got extra information. I can send you the actual notes that I have, web pages, stuff like that. So if you want to do that, this sheet's going to be passed around, okay? Just put your name on it. Some people like to use Facebook Messenger. That's fine. Whatever works for you, okay? Email's what I like to use, but I can use anything. I'm used to it with the seniors. I have all the seniors' information, right? So, and then the last two is, do you use a Bible program already? I'd kind of be interested in which one you're using right now. Or if none, that's fine. And then finally, if you're interested in getting help with the Bible program, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be available before, you know, the morning service on Sunday and the evening service if people are interested. And I'll help you get it set up on your iPhone, Android. Maybe Jay will help me with the Android, but but I've used Android too. It's just been a while. And or, you know, iPad, or if you have a laptop, whatever, right? Just bring it to church, and I'll help you with it here, okay? But you got to come before service, not during service. A free offer, no charge, okay? And I'll explain why you might want to do that if you don't feel comfortable with Bible programs, okay? Because there's some great advantages. Okay, let's go back. So that she's going around. Yep, just keep passing it around and filling it in. Okay, let's close that down. And let's go to... Okay. How to study the Bible. We're going to use the book of Galatians. let's pray first, okay? And then I'll get into it. Father, I thank you so much, Lord. You've been teaching me so much through the book of Galatians here recently, Lord. It's a blessing, Lord, and I pray, Father, you'd help me to teach this, Lord, the way you want it. I pray, Father, that it would encourage and help people here, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these things. And I thank you, Lord, that we have the Word of God. We have the truth, Lord. And let's help us, Lord, to use it and to get it out to people. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how to study the Bible. We're going to do 6 weeks, right? 6 weeks, which, you know, I could take forever, just some of the, but 6 weeks is good. I can get it done in 6 weeks. We're going to cover different things that I have used in studying the Bible, okay? All the way from, you know, this, and Strong's Concordance. We'll talk about how to use one of these, though I've got it here, okay, and it's a lot easier here, but I'll show you how to use it this way. Some people like paper, that's fine, you know. If you got a Strong's Concordance, we'll talk about that. And then Webster's 1828 Dictionary, we'll talk about that a little bit. Really, really useful, two really useful things in Bible study. Because guess what? We're reading an English book, right? Want to make sure you get the right definitions of the words. And as we'll explain, the book we're reading is from England. England's English is not exactly the same as American English. I don't know if you realize that. We'll see some things. You read some things in the Bible and say, well, what is that? Well, in England, they'd understand it. But here, you know, we have an American English. So we'll talk about some of those differences. why the book of Galatians? Number one, it's short. I'm not going to do Isaiah. Okay, it's short. It's something you can study on your own. So I picked short book, right? And I thought, well, Galatians is a good book. You know, 1 Thessalonians is another good book. There's a lot of nice short books that you can use to do this type of thing. So we're going to start with that. The other thing is it has some personal meaning to me. If you've been reading the book of Galatians, and I really encourage you to read the book of Galatians. Don't expect this to be a class where you come here and I give you all the information and, you know, you're all set. No, you need to study for yourself. That's how to study the Bible, right? You need to study for yourself. You'll get nothing, very little out of this class if you don't study it for yourself. Okay? Now, you can talk husband and wife, you know, I have no problem. But I want you to study it on your own. Let God speak to you through the Word of God. God will teach you. There's a verse in 1 John that talks about you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit, and He'll teach you if you let Him. Pray to the Holy Spirit, you know, pray to God and say, Lord, I want to learn, and He'll teach you. You know, He uses the pastor. He uses your Bible reading. He uses all those things, but you need to, you know, you need to do some study here. But anyway, what happened in my life is I kind of went down the path of some of the Galatians. I was thinking I had to keep the law. I had to keep the Sabbath, do all the rest of that stuff, right? Oh, you got to do that, you know, to be a good Christian. And it was a cult type thing, you know. And God got me out of that, thank God. And we'll talk about that. By the way, the Galatians is a good book. You understand in how God deals with cults and what God thinks about cults? Book of Galatians. Like Jehovah's Witnesses, you can read a description in Galatians that's talking about what the Jehovah's Witnesses do, or the Mormons do, or the, you name that organization, you know, the cults. It's all in Galatians. What else did Galatians, how did God use Galatians? The Reformation, just a little thing. Martin Luther, he said, I didn't bring the book with me, but essentially he said that he was wed to the book of Galatians. It's the book that got him seeing that it's not by works, it's not by tradition, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. It changed Christianity at that time, right? And not just him, John Wesley. All these guys back then, the reformers. So it's had a great effect. It's a great book, okay? So we'll do that. Let's see here. Let's go next. On one of the sheets, I actually have some programs, Bible programs I recommend. I'm not going to spend a lot of time right now talking about them, but it's on there. These are the ones I recommend. I've got more programs. I'm kind of a Bible program. I don't know. It's my hobby, I guess. I don't know. I've got all kinds of Bible programs on my phone, on my laptop, on my, you name it, right? But these are programs that I find have a lot of good stuff. I like eSword, mySword, if you've got an Android, is a good one. I've used that too. And we'll talk more about it. A lot of free stuff. If you buy the basic program for about the, some of them are free, but if you buy from about the price of a good lunch, you've got a ton of resources. You've got this guy. You've got this guy. You've got tons of stuff, okay? And I'll show you some of this stuff. Plus other things that you can do. Maps. Anyway, okay. But that's on your sheet. If you have any questions, you know, see me later. I want to get into this. The other thing. So, this is a page from, Karen will recognize this. This is a page from your Bible. The old Schofield Bible. By the way, notice old Schofield. I have a new Schofield also, but there's some changes in the new Schofield. When I was a young Christian, I got a new Schofield, not realizing, you know, that there was changes right in the text. But anyway, the old Schofield has some great notes. Has, if you look at this thing, actually a pointer would be good, wouldn't it? But anyway, if you look at this, I'll just get up here. It has great cross references in the center column. It has these chain references, like, for example, gospel. It'll take you through what the Bible says about gospel. Okay, just a really good chain reference. It's a good study Bible. Be careful, any Bible that has notes, the notes are not infallible, right? They're good notes, right? I mean, he loved the Lord, he was saved, but you know, anybody, you have to just check it out with the Word of God. The Word of God is the final authority, not the notes, but it's a good study Bible. And guess what? In eSword and mySword, you've got all the notes for the old Schofield, free. It comes with the package. So, you know, you can say, that's another book I could pile up in here. I can keep going, but anyway. Okay, enough on that. Let's get into five ways to know your Bible. Okay? So, All of you have done the first one, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? You've all heard the word of God. That's how you got saved. And, you know, hearing is a good way to get the word of God into your life. There's a great Bible app. I can send you that, too, if you're on that mailing list, where you can just listen to Scorby on your iPhone in your car driving down, if you want to do that, reading the King James Bible. Free. Okay? That's a good way to do it. You know, hear the word of God. Let's look at the next one. Look at Revelation. I should get my Bible up. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And hopefully all of you are doing this one, and that's reading the word of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. This is your food. You're spiritually malnutrition. You're not healthy if you don't, spiritually, if you don't read the Word of God. Right? It's like bread. The Bible uses all kinds of analogies. But Revelation 1:3, it says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." By the way, The time is at hand. Things are coming together. But anyway, we won't get into prophecy today. But the Bible says there's a blessing of reading even the book of Revelation, that book that people say, "Oh, stay away from that story." Mm-hmm. No, there's a blessing. A blessing there. Why? Because I know I'm not going through these things. I'm coming out. In Revelation chapter 4, it says, "Come out hither. Come up hither. I'm coming out of here. I'm going up to heaven. Heaven's my home. I'm not the one that God's going to be judging during the tribulation." Anyway, okay. But there's a blessing there, right? For reading and for hearing the words. Yep. That's God's blessing. So that's the other way. Acts 17:11 is the other way. Look at Acts 17:11. And this is where we're going to be spending most of our time studying the Word of God. Okay? That's more than reading. That's more than hearing. And trying to show you a little bit about how you study the Word of God. One thing I'll say is, this really started, I think, when I was a Sunday school teacher. When you teach the Word of God, you have to study the Word of God. And teaching the Word of God really helps you to study and learn more of God's Word. I think any Sunday school teacher here would agree with that. It got me going in this. It really did. You know, you wanted to be prepared when you're teaching your kids. But anyway, Acts chapter 17, verse 11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." That's important. You got to receive the word. You got to believe that this is God's word, right? God's only blesses faith in his word. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they searched it. They didn't just, I'm going to do my Bible reading today. They searched the scriptures to check and make sure that what Paul, in this case, was preaching, Paul and Silas was preaching, was the truth, right? And you should do that anyway. Not to criticize pastors, no criticism here, but when he preaches, you should check those verses, mm-hmm. right? Not just so you learn. You'll learn from what he's giving you. Okay, so we're going to talk about studying. Now, we can go beyond that and memorizing. I believe God gives Christians the ability to do that. He blesses his word. He gives you the ability. Now, maybe as you get older, maybe it's not as good, but you can still do it. Still do it. So, I think it's a good thing to do. Psalm 119. Let's look at that. Psalm 119. And the blessing with memorizing the Word of God is when you need it, when the temptation occurs, when you're witnessing to somebody, God will bring that scripture back to memory. Okay? There are verses that it's like, I memorized a long time ago, but God still brings it back to memory, right? Psalm 119 says, "Where about a one man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto of God's word." I'll be verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. Mm-hmm. Get the word of God in you, okay? So memorization. And then finally, meditation. Notice that he's holding a Bible. The hand is holding a Bible and all five of these things. Kind of, or you need the thumb down there too. So the thumb, the idea is that you're thinking about these things that God's shown you in the Word of God. You're meditating on it. You're letting God work in your heart. Getting it from the head to the heart. Anyway, meditation. We've got Psalm 1. Yeah, Psalm 1. This is all introduction. Yeah. But I figured, you know, it might be good to talk a little bit about what the different ways that we can get into the Word of God.
Uh-oh. You know something?
You're probably trying to tell me. Anyway, Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So, you know, King David was writing this thing at that time. He had the law, right? The first five books. The kings were required to actually copy the law when they first became kings. They had to copy the whole thing by hand. And, you know, David obviously meditated in the Word of God, the law at that time. You know, today for us, we got the whole Word of God, right? And anyway, but meditation, very important. Okay, five ways to know the Bible. Well, let's get even more specific. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:15. We're going to spend a little time on this verse. This verse changed my Christianity. As a young Christian, when I got involved in this thing about keeping the Sabbath and all that, I didn't know about rightly dividing the word of truth. I had no clue. In fact, in the Bible I was using, it didn't say that. I don't know if you know what. a lot of the new Bibles don't have that, okay? So and we won't get into that right now. But what does it say? Study first. That's a command, right? Not please, you know, I hope you do. No, study. Study, why? To show thyself approved unto God. This is one of the ways God wants you to be prepared, you know, for the judgment seat of Christ, right? Just take that. You need to study. Study the Word of God. You can't go to God and say, well, I was ignorant of that. No. He gave you a command. Study. To be approved unto God, why? Or how? This next word, this is a dirty word in America sometimes. Yeah. A workman. A workman. This is work. You say, oh, it's not easy for me. This is work. Okay? A workman. You've got to work at it. Okay? And God will help you, but you've got to work at it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And then rightly dividing the word of truth. There are divisions in your Bible. I'll give you an easy one. In fact, you can probably tell me, somebody tell me here an obvious division in the Bible. Yes? There you go. Okay, that's an easy one, right? Pretty much any Christian would believe that, okay? But there are more divisions. I'll give you another one. Between the church age, which is what we're in right now, and the Great Tribulation. There's a major change that goes on there. We'll get into some of this dispensationalism in the book of Galatians. It's really interesting. But so rightly dividing the word of truth. This is truth, right? This is the truth. Not, you know, some people talk about my truth and your truth. And, no, this is the truth, okay? God's truth is the truth. Anyway, so this is a command. Yes, Andy.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
This has been on my mind for.
Okay.
Does Satan, when I read my Bible, mm-hmm. there's things in there that say, this can't be true or this can't be right. I don't agree, you know? the same. So,
well, Satan can affect your mind, right? He can cause doubts, right? Remember what he said to Eve? Yea, hath God said, right? So Satan can affect that. Sometimes, though, it may be misunderstanding what the Scripture says, right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit, too. So you have to make sure you're understanding it properly, in context, okay? But it depends. I'd have to know the particular verse or thing that you're looking at. But, yeah, Satan tries to do that. He tries to make you doubt.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Okay, enough on that. Let's go on here. Okay, let's talk about the book of Galatians, okay? So, what we're going to be doing, in the beginning anyway, is kind of like an overview of the book of Galatians. You're going to get the big picture of what Galatians is talking about. The reason for that is if you dive into it verse by verse before you understand the big picture, you're not going to see what's really going on here, you know? That's the problem with people who take verses out of context, right? They just pluck a verse, not in context, and, you know, maybe many times it's good stuff, you know, but they don't apply it in the context that it's found in. And so we're going to try and get the context, the big picture of the book of Galatians. And we'll talk about some questions that you want to check into. I should keep my eye on the clock here. Okay, first of all, let's talk about the timeline. So our calendar's messed up. Okay. Anybody know, and I know there's arguments on this, but when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what year? Anybody? Nope. See, that's the problem. Our calendar's messed up. That's why I gave you the hint. Okay. Jesus was 33 when he died, but our calendar's messed up. Anybody know? Yeah. I'll use 30, okay? But and you can argue. I don't want to argue. I'm just trying to give you an overview here, right? So 30. What happened is, and I'll make the long story short, you have to date it by the time that King Herod died. Don't forget, Jesus was born before King Herod died. So if you have Jesus born after King Herod died, what do you have? A contradiction. But there's no contradiction. There was a pope who messed up on the calendar. Nothing new there. The popes determined the calendar, and they messed up. Anyway, so about 30 AD. So that's the other thing. You know, be very careful when people use dates, because there's a lot of things going on there that are confusing. But anyway, let's use 30, okay? And I know people say, 30? But I thought he was like in his 33, right? No, that's 30. He was born about, there's all kinds of arguments, 3, 4, I don't know, whatever. Whenever King Herod died that year right before, or that time right before he died. Okay, Paul, using that date, Paul is converted about 3, 4 years after that. Okay, it seems, and I don't know if I was reading somewhere, that Paul was about the age of Jesus Christ, which is interesting, okay? But anyway, so Paul gets converted about 33. Here's something else you'll find really interesting. Book of Galatians is a good book if you want to know about Paul's testimony. Great book. We're going to learn all about Paul. And it's interesting stuff. Things that you don't read in the book of Acts. Okay, and then Galatians, let's see here, I'll just point to it. So here's Galatia, okay, and it goes, it's this area right in here. And what we have here are the different times that Paul did missions trips, right? His first trip, by the way, they started from Antioch. This first trip starts from Antioch. That's another thing. There are multiple Antiochs in the Bible, okay? So this is Antioch in Syria, the same Syria we have today, right? But Antioch in Syria. He starts from there. That's where they are first called Christians. I think that's, what is that, Acts 11? I don't know where it is. But anyway, first called Christians. Anyway, they go to the island of Cyprus, do some preaching there, and then go to these towns, Perga, and eventually go to this Antioch in Pisidia, if I'm pronouncing it properly. and then to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Anybody know a disciple out of the town of Derbe? Anybody? Bible trivia. Yes. Nope. Timothy. Timothy, I believe, was from the town of Derbe. Anyway, so I don't know. Did Paul witness to Timothy during that time? I don't know, but it's kind of interesting. So these are all towns in Galatia. So when you're reading this writing in the book of Galatians, he's writing to churches that he went and visited personally, and in some cases got stoned to death, you know, and then came back to life. But anyway, that's another little detail. Paul went through a lot. He must have really looked like something with all the things he went through. I can't imagine. He talks about having the marks of Jesus Christ, and I think it's the stuff he went through. But anyway, so those are the towns he went to, and now he's writing to these churches because there's some problems. And as you read the book of Galatians, which you should be doing, and I encourage you to do in this next week, because you're going to have an assignment, you'll find out some of the problems that these churches had, okay? Some pretty big problems. But anyway, he's writing to them, and now the dates, people can argue, just say it's 50-ish, okay? And that people argue it could be later, earlier, but based on the timeline, I believe this is correct. So he writes to the Galatians. And then you have Paul being martyred towards the end of the 60s, okay, and martyred in Rome. So that's kind of a timeline, just to kind of give you where this thing fits. With this chronology, Galatians is the first book he writes, okay? The first book he writes. And there's a lot in it, so. Later on, he does more details in the book of Romans, which pastor's going to be teaching. So you'll get the expanded version in the Romans class. anything else I want to say about this? And then there's the second and third missions trips, but we won't talk about that right now. And by the way, we're going to find out a really good way to study the book of Galatians is to read the book of Acts when it talks about these particular towns, okay? So, because you'll get more details about what happened in these towns. You maybe get a better feel for what's happening. Okay, let's go on here. Okay, here's your first assignment, besides reading the book of Galatians. And you have a sheet. Let me explain what's going on here. What I've done is, and you know, again, people can argue about this. Just do this time, okay? I divided the book of Galatians into paragraphs, kind of units, right? And so you'll see on the left there verses, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, et cetera, right? Now, on yours, all these things are blank, so don't fill it in. Don't copy. This is, but you can do that, but I want you to get it for yourself. Yes? Pastor's going to get some for you. Yeah. Anyway, so what you're going to do is you're going to read through the book of Galatians, and so what I did is the first three, you're going to get what God gives you, okay? I'm just giving you what God gave me right here just to kind of show how I did it, okay? Number one, you're going to use words out of the Bible, not your own words. So one of the methods that is used sometimes with this is called paraphrasing. I don't want you to paraphrase. I want you to take words out of the Bible, okay? And when I say words, like three or four, I do not want you to write a whole verse. You can't fit it in that little section anyway, so that's on purpose. Three or four. The idea is the key thought, the key idea from that passage, right? Something that God showed you from that passage. Okay, so let's go to Galatians 1, and I'm going to show you how I did this, okay? You'll see the technique. So, first of all, this is all God's Word. This is not you putting your own words. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, because that gets you thinking about it, but I want you to use God's Word but get it out of the Word of God. And that takes a little bit of work to do that, right? You have to actually read it for yourself. Do not use the titles in your Bible. Some of the Bibles have titles, right? Don't use that. I want you to get words out of the passage. No cheating. Now, if your Bible uses words out of the passage, I mean, that's okay. But I want you to get out of the Word of God. This forces you to read it, doesn't it? That's what I want you to do. Read the Word. Meditate on it a little bit, okay? So, for example, let's read this first chapter, and then I'll show you where I got that, okay? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you. Oh, that kind of hit me. That's a key for me, okay? I'm just telling you. Grace be to you. So, guess what? Grace be to you. That's what I put down. I read the whole thing. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That might be something you might use. I don't know. Whatever. That he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. There's another one. I don't know. It's hard to choose, but just choose something, okay? I like grace be to you. This is me, okay? You do whatever. As long as it's from the Word of God, you can't go wrong, right? It's not wrong to take the Word of God and apply it, right? Yes. Well, you wouldn't need it, right? You're reading the Bible. Okay. In this case, you're just reading the Bible, and God's showing you something, and you're taking just three or four words, really short little phrase, and writing it down for that passage, something that God showed you. You don't need any other book for that, right? This particular first one is you and God. I like that. Later on, we'll talk about reference books, but right now, you and God. That's what we want. We want you and God. Hearing from God, okay? We're going to use this. So you see these other columns, like segment titles and section titles. We're going to kind of build this up, okay? And get the big picture. But we start off with the paragraphs. You know, what's like the key thing in there? And we don't all have to be the same. That's okay. I just hope God talks to you. I'm interested in hearing what God shows you. I'd be like, oh, wow. Right? But anyway, so that's what I did. And then for the next one, I saw another gospel. And as you read the book of Galatians, you'll see that's a key thing in that. So that kind of, I keyed in on that. And then the next one, gospel not after man. Okay, that was me. But I'm not going any further. Next week, I'll show you the rest of my list. But I'd like you to do it this week. Good, go through the book of Galatians. Go as far as you can. Now, maybe you say, gee, I don't have the time to do all this. Well, do something. Mm-hmm. Spend some time, right? Maybe a little less TV. Amen. Yeah, I don't know. YouTube. What's that? YouTube. Less YouTube, whatever. I'm guilty too. I like watching YouTube. I don't watch a lot of TV these days. A lot of garbage. No. Anyway, but just spend a little time, and what is God going to give you? I'm looking forward to seeing this, okay? What this is going to do is kind of build an outline of the book, of what God's shown you from the Word of God, okay? You're going to get the big picture. You're going to get the context of Galatians. And then we're going to dive deep, but let's get the big picture first, okay? Any questions on that? Because this is important. If you don't get this, yes? Just the paragraph titles right now. If you want to go for advanced credit, you can. You see what the lines are on that sheet there? Those lines give you the divisions. In other words, you're going to take the paragraphs and then summarize for the segment. And then for the section titles, essentially it's the first two chapters, chapters 1 and 2, chapters 3 and 4, and chapters 5 and 6. You'll have kind of the overview of those. So if you want to, you go as far as you want to go, okay, but I'd just be glad if you get the paragraph stuff done, okay? Anyway, okay. Any other questions? Good question. By the way, there are no, all questions are good in this class, all questions. Okay, I'm not going to critique anybody for asking a question, so anyway, okay, enough on that. Okay, on your second sheet, and this is more extra credit, okay? You don't have to do this for next week. But this is what we're going to try and answer. you'll see a list of questions to answer. So as you're reading, a couple things. As you're reading, there's going to be some verses you're going to say, I'm not sure what this is talking about. You don't have to answer that right away. Just write down the question, okay? Just kind of another piece of paper, just write down the question. So these are your own questions. And those are good things. That means that's something you can study a little more, right? Study out. And we can, you know, some of your questions may be so good we'll even talk about them here in class. Okay? So, anyway. But these are questions that we're going to try and answer. So, like, who wrote this book? I think you already know that one. But these are questions you want to ask when you're reading these type of things. To whom did he write? Okay? Now, you can say, you know, to the churches in Galatia, right? But there's a little more to it, right? We kind of looked at some of the towns. Where did he write it? That's a good question. I'm not going to give the answer right now, but just say that's a good question. Okay, where did he write it? Because that could make a difference, right? Some of Paul's epistles, he's writing in prison. He's got nothing. He's sitting there waiting to be, you know, whatever. He's writing in prison, right? But where did he write this one? When did he write it? That's where you get maybe some arguments depending on your particular view of how things played out. But anyway, it's important. What was the occasion of his writing? What was going on? Yes. Yeah, for this you can. For this you can. But I think a lot you're going to find from the Bible itself, right? Yeah, for this you have to because, yeah. But this you don't have to have done for next week. I'm trying to. There's enough just to get through the paragraph things, okay? I'm just saying these are things that you want to, you know, maybe as you're going through, you'll note something and write a little bit about it. Okay. Let's see. What was the purpose for which he wrote? A lot of these are obvious. What were the circumstances of the author? In other words, what was he going through? What was happening to him? Yeah. Again? Now it's in there. What were the circumstances of those to whom he wrote? So what was going on in Galatia? What glimpses does the book give into the life and character of the author? We're going to find out a lot about that one. You're going to learn about Paul through this book. So look for that as you're reading through it. What are the leading ideas of the book? We're going to actually come up with like a key verse in the book. And you maybe as you're reading through, you'll say, boy, this seems to be the key to this whole book. What is the central truth? That's kind of very similar of the book. And what are the characteristics of the book? I'll give you one clue on the characteristics. There's a lot of contrast in the book of Galatians. There's something where, I'll give you an example. This one you know, spirit versus flesh. But there's tons of them. Just read the book and find the contrasts. We'll talk about these, but Galatians is a book of contrasts. Anyway, so these are just some things, you know, maybe keep in mind, but we'll try to answer these. Maybe you'll find answers and tell us in class. That'd be great, okay? Okay, let's talk about, how much time do we have? Oh, good, we're still good. Okay, so let's talk about these big books. Okay. This is Webster's 1828 dictionary, okay? This is Webster's 1828 dictionary. Amen. Let's see. I can carry this everywhere. I can't do that. Okay. But, you know, again, some people feel more comfortable with this, so that's fine. And anyway. So what I want to do is I'm using an example here. This is kind of along the lines of the English that's used in the Bible. So most of the time it's not a problem. King James is very clear. But there are some words that sometimes people say, oh, that's a contradiction. I'll give you an example. Some people say, oh, that's a contradiction. The Bible, the King James Bible says corn. But there was no corn in land of Israel. Wait, we're using the English language. What does the word corn mean in England? It doesn't mean what it means here. It doesn't mean maize. Did you know that? In fact, here's Webster. But Webster, by the way, was a Christian. He was a Christian. He'll quote verses in his Webster's 1828 dictionary. It's really neat. It's a good book. Okay, let's, so you can see here corn. I don't know how well you can see it. I can blow it up. Let's do this. There we go. Corn. And, you know, he'll give you the Saxon and, the, you know, where it came from, all that type of stuff. He'll give you, you know, Johnson quotes an old runic rhyme, which I can't even, corna? Anyway. So, I mean, the word has a long history. Look at number one. A single seed of certain plants as wheat, rye, barley, and maize. So it can include maize, but it's the seed of a plant that you eat. Okay? That's what it meant back in 1828. That's number definition number one. Okay, we'll go down here. Now here's what's interesting. Look at number two. And I'm just using this as an example. There's other things I could use, and we'll use some of these. Number two, the seeds of certain plants in general in bulk or quantity, as corn is dear or scarce. Let's see. In this sense, the word comprehends all the kinds of grain which constitute the food of men and horses. In Great Britain, corn is generally applied to wheat, rye, oats, and barley. Okay? Not to maize, not to what, you know, we eat here in America. In the United States, it also can be used for maize. Anyway, there's words like that that what I wish, if I was doing my own King James Bible, I would put a little thing in the margin giving the definition of some of these words, you know, that would help people. But anyway, that's just one example. There's other words like that. So if something doesn't make sense or somebody says, oh, there's a contradiction, you might want to actually learn some English. English, okay, and check it out. Most of the things can be handled that way, rather than saying, well, that's a contradiction in the King James Bible. A lot of that is ignorance. There's a lot of ignorance out there. The other thing that's very important is grammar, but we're not going to spend a lot of time in grammar. All those things you hated in school are important. So I'll just say this. I just recently reviewed New Testament Greek. I took New Testament Greek at First Bible Baptist Church. Pastor and I were talking about this. I just recently reviewed it, and boy, the necessity of understanding grammar is so important. I don't care if it's Greek or English. The necessity of understanding context is important. I don't care if it's Greek or English. You can say, oh, I'll go to the original Greek. Same problem there. The same word has multiple meanings depending on the context. Grammar and vocabulary are important, and looking things up is very important. Anyway, I'll just leave it at that. Okay, enough on that. I just want to make a point here because, yes?
What's the benefit between that dictionary and the normal one I have on the shelf?
If it's a comprehensive, so, well, normal. So you want to get the English definition, the definition that applies to England. There is a dictionary called the Oxford English Dictionary, the OED, it's abbreviated. I have one that's an abbreviated version that is bigger than this. This is it's bigger than this and abbreviated. The original Oxford English Dictionary is multiple volumes, okay? For those that are into The Lord of the Rings, the author of The Lord of the Rings, I think, did part of that dictionary, that Oxford English Dictionary, including the word walrus. He did a definition. He was an English... He was an expert in languages, right? He invented his own language. But anyway, just to kind of give you an idea, it's a very big dictionary. That would have pretty good meanings. They actually show you, back in this day, the meaning was this, and then it changed, and it gives you the whole history of the words. That's probably overkill for most people. 1828 is fine. Most American dictionaries don't have all of that. They sometimes do, they sometimes don't. You'll have to... Does that answer your question? What's that? Webster's name was kept on dictionaries long after he passed away, right? So this is closer to the time of the King James translation. And, I haven't looked at an 1861. If you find a good one and it looks good, I don't know. the 1828, I don't think he had anything before that that, you know, had as much Bible and stuff like that. But if there was one, I would use it, you know. Yeah, well, we're talking about that. That's,
I mean, like, the modern has been
changed. And our language is changing right now. You know, I'll use one word, gay. The Bible has the word gay in it, but it does not mean what it means today. Okay? Language changes, and that's okay. But even if you take New Testament Greek, the language was changing. New Testament Greek and modern Greek, they're not the same, okay? And it was changing through time. So that's just the way languages are. So it's good to get a good dictionary, and I think the 1828 is great. But, you know, again, you know, for very little price of a lunch, you can get an app, maybe even free. Some of the apps are free. MySort, I think, is free and has all of that, okay? Okay, enough on that. Let's do this. These are all good questions. Okay, what else do we have here? Okay. Yeah, this will probably be one of the last things we talk about. Is that big enough? Do you think? I am tired of people taking things out of context. I don't care if it's the Bible, the Constitution, political speech, I'm tired of it. That's evil, okay? I don't care you need to take it in context, and the best thing is to talk to the author about it. And guess what? We know the author of the Bible. Talk to the author. The Holy Spirit will show you. Take it in context. But there's a ton of stuff. Anyway, I could get into a political diatribe here. I'm not going to do it, but, you know, it's the same for anything. In context, what did he mean? Look at the context. In fact, usually if you have a question, just keep reading. God will show you, give you the answer. Don't just pluck it out and say, oh, this is what it means. No, read the context. When you ask me a question, usually I will go back and start reading the context. And usually the answer will come out of that. Read the context. That determines the meaning of words. I don't care if you're Greek, Hebrew, English, Spanish, whatever. Okay? Words usually have multiple meanings, variations of meanings. You need to take it in context. And then 1 Corinthians 2:13. We will look this up. 1 Corinthians 2:13. It looks like verse 10. We'll get the context. Oh, no, let's look at verse 9. That's good, too. This is all good. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Amen. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That Holy Spirit within you is revealing things to you. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You know, we have a little spirit there. And anyway, but we have something more than that. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God's given you that Holy Spirit so you can know some things. In fact, you know, 1 John, one of his key phrases is, you know, knowing, right? You know you have eternal life. You were just preaching on that recently. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants you to know. And how does he do that? Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. So when Paul was speaking, he was inspired of God when he was, you know, the Word of God, right? He was inspired of God, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, how? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Spiritual things with spiritual. So one of the things that we're going to do in this is do Scripture with Scripture. That's how we'll find. A lot of times you can find the meaning of words that way too. right? You just look at Scripture with Scripture, you find the meaning of the words that way. But we're going to do spiritual things with spiritual. And again, that's a study. You have to study. It's not something that just, you know, you have to do your own study on some of this stuff. Okay, is there anything else I wanted to talk about that? No, I think that's enough. I think you get the idea. And I think I better stop here. What do you think? It's a natural stopping point. So you got your homework. How's that sheet? Has it gone around? People put their name and whatever way you want to get down that way. We'll make sure you get it too. Who has not had a chance to see this? Okay. I should have made this bigger, huh? I can see that people are just trying to squeeze on there. Here you go, Dave. Yeah. Okay, any last questions? Otherwise, we'll have a word of prayer. And let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that dwells in us, Lord. And we can know your word, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would teach us. We need you, Lord. We need you now more than ever, Lord, with all the falsehoods and lies that are going around. Help us, Lord, to study your word, to meditate on your word. And Father, we thank you for these things. Pray you bless the service and the music and everything that follows. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Again, if anybody wants some help, I can be here before service tonight, you know, helping you set up your phone or whatever. So.
Now you have all the seniors.
I have all the seniors, yeah. So I'm going to send an email to all the seniors, yeah. So you will get it one way or another. The seniors are all set.